This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and it was a rambunctious Tuesday, a very revealing Tuesday today. Yes, the Pete Hegseth confirmation hearing was today. It's confirmation week. We got Bondi coming. There's going to be a whole lot of that. So get ready for that. What else are we going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about war with China. 75% of American parents don't want the tranny stuff in school. So why do we have it in school? Jack Smith dropped the lawfare, but Arizona's attorney general picked it up. Why? California Democrats are asking $50 million to protect illegals. Canada is all of a sudden coming around on buying more things from us. And 250 Africans have officially taken over a French theater, and it's hilarious. All that, emails, voicemails, and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to begin. This is going to be about the Pete Hegseth thing, but let me tell you why I'm such a supporter of it. Not just of him. This does not only apply to him. It applies to so many of the nominees Trump has put up. And last time, look, everyone who listens knows I'm more than willing to blast away when I disagree with Trump. Last time, his nominees were embarrassing. Horrible. Rex Tillerson, you've got to be freaking kidding me. This time, I'm blown away impressed. I am so impressed. But why? Why am I so on board with Pete Hegseth? Or Tulsi Gabbard, she's a career Democrat. I have all kinds of disagreements with her. RFK, same thing. Why am I supportive of this? Well, being as how it's football season, I'll explain it this way. If there's this incredible football team and they have been winning consistently over and over and over and over again, make the playoffs every year, flirt with the national championship, Super Bowl every year, well, it would be insane for someone to step in and say, hey, this whole coaching staff, our whole philosophy here, we're getting rid of it. There's this high school coach. He's in Wisconsin. He's got this really weird, quirky offense. We're dumping our coaching staff, and we're going to bring in this high school guy, and we're just going to go crazy. Nobody would support that. Why? You're already winning. Things are going well. You don't upset the apple cart when things are going well. You just keep going that way. But vice versa. Let's say there's a team that's been losing over and over and over and over again. Year after year after year after year. Loss, 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 loss. Well, once you experience that for long enough, then it's time to take some chances and shake things up. Maybe that quirky high school coach from Wisconsin comes in and falls flat on his face. But you don't have the option to continue the way you've gone. That's not an option. So it's time to roll the dice and take some chances. When it comes to Pete Hegseth, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, person after person, I could keep going down the list. Are they different? Sure. Of course they're different. Much different than they have been. Does that make them worse? Well, I don't know. I don't know yet. You don't know yet. I think Pete Hegseth is a very, very capable human being, and I expect him to do very well, but maybe he won't. Maybe he'll fall flat on his face. Maybe it'll be a disaster. Maybe. I don't think so, but maybe. But no matter what, we cannot continue on the way we have been going as a military. We have so much cultural rot in the military system in this country. I am doubtful even Pete Hegseth can fix it in just 4 years. We have become so top-heavy. Listen to this. You want to talk about revealing.
We won World War II with 7 4-star generals. Today we have 44 four-star generals. There's an inverse relationship between the size of staffs and victory on the battlefield. We don't need more bureaucracy at the top. We need more warfighters empowered at the bottom.
We have a military run from the bloated bureaucracy now. Everybody gets their 4 stars. Along with those 4 stars, everybody gets a lucrative contract with a defense contractor on the way out the door. Washington politicians, I've got some inside information for you there. I'll get to that in a moment. Washington politicians get to campaign on being tough on national defense. And I love the military. Look, support our troops. Look how much I love America. The politicians win, the generals win, America doesn't win, and the men on the ground most definitely do not win. The men on the ground had to suffer through a 20-year global war on terror where embarrassing general after embarrassing general took over both theaters, accomplished absolutely nothing, and then sailed off into the sunset with a multi-million dollar defense contractor contract, and the men and women on the ground are left without legs, without their lives, without their friends, without their sanity. And this simply cannot continue anymore, especially in the face of a potential war with China. Here's a headline for you. War in 2 years. It's from PJ Media. China talking about 2027 as the year they take Taiwan. China, here's from Naval News. China suddenly building a fleet of special barges suitable for Taiwan landings. You don't build craft to land on the shore unless you're planning on landing on the shore. We have luxuriated here in the United States of America for most of our existence. Now, if you're old enough, and I realize we have some people who are this old who listen to the show, you're old enough to remember Japanese warships firing on America in California, off the coast of California. That happened in World War II. Nothing significant, no huge damage, not a great loss of life, so most people don't know about it. If you're old enough, you're old enough to know about Nazi U-boats. You can see them from the ports in New York City. There was a time in this country when Americans understood and appreciated that power can come visit you now, where you are, wherever you happen to be. But because we won World War II and we've had all this time, you know, I realize Cold War stuff, but we've had so much time where, look, we're safe. And even the global war on terror, unless you're one of the ones actually over there fighting and bleeding and dying, it's not that big of a deal, right? I mean, the jihadis, yeah, they might drive through a crowd of people on Bourbon Street because they're a bunch of demonic savages, but they're not going to come take over America. They're not going to come do anything crazy like that. Oh, who cares? We'll go blow some of them up in Afghanistan and we'll call it a day. And where that's gotten us is a military that is run from the bureaucracy, as I said. A military so full of filth. Listen to this.
My Secretary of the Navy, should I be confirmed, sir, will not be focused on climate change in the Navy. Just like the Secretary of the Air Force won't be focused on LG-powered fighter jets. Or the Secretary of the Army will not be focused on electric-powered tanks.
Those aren't just one-liners Pete had planned. That's happening right now in the United States military. We are rotting. And the point I have tried to make over and over and over again is you can't make people care about the rot in the military. You can't really make people care until it's too late. Meaning you can't, it's hard to get, I know you care, I'm not talking about you, but
It's hard to get Norm and Norma on board with caring about military rot because they don't see it. You almost sound like some kind of right-wing conspiracy theorist. I'll take the tinfoil off your head until one day you wake up and you find out a carrier group is at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean and you've lost 5,000 sailors. And that's when Norm and Norma wake up and look around and say, how did this happen? How could we not? What happened? What happened was, over the course of decades, our military has become painted rust, a disaster in every possible way. And what we need is a huge shakeup. And this will apply to way more than just Pete Hegseth. RFK Jr., I have all kinds of problems with things RFK Jr. has said and still says and things like that. But our pharmaceutical industry, our FDA, needs shaken up, to put it mildly. Get in there and start shaking. Tulsi Gabbard, I want to see her shake it. Shake it up big time. I want to see you. I want to see you purchase a Byrna. That's what I want from you, because I want you to live. Byrna, the Byrna launcher, it's non-lethal. So it's legal in all 50 states. Yeah, California, but yeah, see, I'm in New York. They're legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. SWAT teams across the country are carrying Byrna launchers. Did you know that? It has pepper ball rounds or tear gas rounds or kinetic rounds. The kinetic rounds are just these hard plastic ones. Oh, my gosh, they hurt. 60-foot range. One shot, incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes. Oh, you're worried about not being able to hit him, but I'm scared. Jesse, I'll be scared. Shoot the ground in front of him. These things are amazing. They save lives, and you can own one, carry one in your car, on your nightstand, on your person. That daughter you sent away to college needs one. Your son, he's up there in the oil fields. He needs one. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. And they partnered with the American Red Cross. Byrna will be donating 10% of all proceeds from purchases on Byrna.com through the 21st. That'll be going to those affected by the fires. How about that? Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on, well, I guess we're going to call it Confirmation Week on a Tuesday night. Remember, that sounds very official, Chris. No, it does. That sounds like something a journalist would come up with.
It's Journalist Jesse.
It's Confirmation Week here on the Jesse Kelly Show. I sound so official. Remember, you can email the show love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. You can email all of those in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to the Pete Hegseth performance today.
Our standards will be high and they will be equal, not equitable. That's a very different word. We need to make sure every warrior is fully qualified on their assigned weapon system, every pilot's fully qualified and current on the aircraft they are flying, and every general or flag officer is selected for leadership or promotion purely based on performance, readiness, and merit.
Jewish producer Chris, during that soundbite, asked a question that I was already planning on answering. He leaned into the mic and he said, "Are they not?" When Pete Hegseth is talking about how everybody needs to be qualified on the weapons system that they're assigned to, let me explain something that has happened in our military. When I was in mortars, I'm going to do a back in my day thing. It's not that I was any kind of a great Marine at all. Like I've told you many times before, I redefined the word average. It was just an average grunt Marine for 4 years. I'm certainly nothing special at all. But our weapons systems, we were always, always going out on shoots with our weapons system. We were in 29 pumps. We hated them, of course, because it's no fun. You have to leave the barracks. You got to go out. You're going out in the field. You're fighting the scorpions. The food's crappy. So we're always complaining, but that's part of being a Marine. But we were always out there shooting, constantly shooting, constantly shooting over and over and over and over and over again. And then when we weren't shooting, we were practicing for the shooting, drill after drill after drill. And you can't imagine how fast you get over and over and over and over and over again without end. Today, with leadership focused on so many other things, they don't get that kind of training. Pete mentioned the pilots here. This is what really perked up Chris's ears.
Our standards will be high and they will be equal, not equitable. That's a very different word. We need to make sure every warrior is fully qualified on their assigned weapon system, every pilot's fully qualified and current on the aircraft they are flying.
Are they not? No, they are not. This comes back to, look, we've been having this discussion when it comes to the California wildfires. You remember what that show was, what the theme of it was? I talked about how we're used to certain things. It's human nature to get used to the way things are. We're in America. We're a modern country. We have plenty of everything. Surely the fire hydrants will have water in them when the fires come. When it comes to the military, well, we're America. We won 2 world wars. We have the best military in the world. Our pilots all know what they're doing, right? Right? No, they do not. Multiple pilot friends of mine tell me the training hours have simply been scaled back to what they have told me doesn't even qualify as the bare minimum. Budget cuts, different focus, but hours in the air for a pilot? I'm not a pilot, so I can only go on what they tell me. For a fighter pilot, hours in the air are everything. You really, really, you World War II buffs will know this. If you ever read a book about any parts of the air war in World War II, what determined your victory over who you were facing was oftentimes not who had the superior plane. It was almost always who had the most hours in the air. It's the hours in the air that make the difference. I was talking to someone I know very, very well, and he is one of these super hot pilot types, Top Gun types. He would kill me if he ever heard me describe him like that, but he's one of these super hot Top Gun types. And he was describing, you know, we were talking about, of course, I'm asking nerd out questions the way you would ask. I'm asking about dogfights and fighting other pilots. And he said, Jesse, you know what the difference is? Less than a quarter of a second most of the time. Who is that much faster, that much more reactive? That's the difference between the guy who comes home and the guy who doesn't. Our pilots don't fly anymore. Cutting back on fuel, cutting back on this. Again, you're not used to that America. I'm not used to that America. But while we were hiring a bunch of new generals and blowing a bunch more money on the new drag show dance on the Air Force Base, the pilots have been grounded. They don't get time in the sky. And that brings me to the last point about the promotions.
And every general or flag officer is selected for leadership or promotion purely based on performance, readiness, and merit.
Again, back to Chris's question. Are they not? No, they're not. DEI is more than something that just affects the local university of yours. It has infected the United States military like a cancer, and it is at stage 4 when it comes to the officer corps. And there are a couple different reasons for this. The first reason is officers get sent into the university system. And many of the pipeline universities where we're sending officers to get their degree before they become officers are some of the most communist universities in the country. So even if you have some squared away patriotic 18-year-old joining the Army, you send him off to Lenin's training camp for 4 years. And when he comes back to the Army, oh yeah, he still wants to be in the Army, but he kind of thinks this America place sucks. And these white people suck. and we're not near gay enough around here. And he gets those officer stripes on him and he goes to work. That's one aspect of it, but there are other parts of it, which we'll get into in a moment. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We'll try to wrap up the Pete Hegseth stuff. I may or may not be able to do that during this segment, but we're just talking about a couple things. So Pete talked, I'm not going to play it for you again, about how people will only get promoted based on performance. And I explained already why that doesn't happen in part. Part of the reason it doesn't happen is the officer corps is a bunch of people filtered through America's university system. And as we've seen from voting patterns over and over and over and over again, whether or not you turn out to be a communist oftentimes is determined by whether or not you've gone into an American university. If you've walked into an American university and been educated there for 4, 5, 6 years, you oftentimes come out the other side to the left of Mao Zedong. If you can manage to avoid that communist training camp, you'll oftentimes be sane, happier, and many times wealthier. So make that choice carefully for your children, if you will. Back to Pete Hegseth and back to how and why people get promoted. You see, when an organization from the top gets corrupted and sent in the wrong direction, oftentimes it's not just evil communists who are only promoting people based on DEI stuff and things like that. It's the guy, maybe he even wants to do the right thing, but he's got a career, you see. So we'll make it about me. Let's say I'm a colonel. I'm a Fulbright colonel, let's say. And let's say I don't have any time for all this DEI garbage. I'm not all about that, but I've got 16 years in the United States Marine Corps. I am living my dream. I have wanted to be a colonel. I want to be a general one day. I want to be a career guy in the United States Marine Corps. And the Biden administration takes over and they start pushing the commie filth really, really, really hard, to where I've had to sit into seminar after seminar after seminar about how oppressed black people are in the military and how we need more gays if we're going to be able to defeat the enemy. And it comes time where I have to decide who the next lieutenant colonel under me is going to be. And I have a choice to make, you see. I have two candidates. One of them, he's a straight white dude. The other one is a gay white dude. And let's say the straight white dude is even more qualified. He's better in every way, a better Marine in every way. I could promote him. That would be the right thing to do. But my general has made it very, very, very clear to me that we are supposed to gay this place up as much as humanly possible. So, see, I want to be a general. I want to get promoted. If I just go ahead and promote the gay guy, then it's not going to leave any bad marks on my record. And my career gets saved. Now, you can yell and scream like you probably are on the radio, but they should be doing what's best for the country. I agree, but you and I both understand how it really works. Many, I could argue most human beings, do what's best for themselves first and foremost. Mark Milley, Remember his comments? Why would he talk like this?
I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university, and it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white, and I want to understand it.
Yeah. Why would he say that? He doesn't actually think that. He doesn't believe that. But why would he get up and say that? Because that's how you maintain that wonderful system membership card that guarantees as soon as you're done as chairman of the Joint Chiefs, you will be a fabulously wealthy man working for defense contractors, liaising between them and Congress to ensure billions and billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money continue to flow back and forth. It becomes self-interest to promote whatever the next DEI guy is. But the end result of that is it happens over and over and over and over and over again in this branch and that branch and this branch and that branch and this department and that department and that department. The end result is, well, you see how LA handled a wildfire. The end result is you have a United States military that doesn't know how to fight wars anymore because you didn't promote people based on who fought the best war, on who had the best strategy, on who had the highest marks. You just promoted people based on the minorities, or do we have enough women, or do we have enough gays? If you do that for long enough, your military will be hollowed out. And that's the challenge we face here. Now let's go on and make fun of some Democrats, shall we? Here is Pete versus Elizabeth Warren.
You're quite sure that every general who serves should not go directly into the defense industry for 10 years, but you're not willing to make that same pledge?
I'm not a general, Senator.
Pretty well done. Of course, Gillibrand had to get her sound bites in. I guess I'll just call them sound bites. Okay, first, remember, these things, for the most part, for Democrats, everything you're going to hear all week is theater. Let me pause. Before I get to Gillibrand, let me explain. I already told you what you've already probably heard. It looks like all of Trump's nominees are going to go through. And I've talked to multiple senators who have told me that. I think they're all going to get confirmed. That tells me the votes have already been whipped. They're going to get confirmed. So if you're a Democrat, you have to fight one of two different ways. With Kavanaugh, the reason everyone who was paying attention to politics, the reason we all remember the Kavanaugh hearings, we all remember how vicious they were, how truly, truly nasty they were, and how long it went on. Well, that was because they genuinely thought they could stop it. Democrats believed they could put a stop to Kavanaugh, and they came very close. They were one vote away from stopping it. Told you that story before. They almost did stop it. What you're seeing and what you will see all week, he saw it today with Pete Hegseth, is not them actually trying to stop it. What you're seeing is them trying to get promoted. This is fundraising week for Democrats. So do yourself a favor. Don't get angry about the crazy, evil, horrible things you'll see Democrats say this week. They're not saying it to try to stop anybody. They're not even necessarily saying it to smear the person they're asking questions of. They're saying it because they want that soundbite on MSNBC. They want the soundbite to go viral. They want a soundbite to attach to the latest fundraising email. Help Senator Gillibrand put a stop to Trump's radical Nazi agenda. Send me $50. I'll make it happen. That's what all this is about. It is Democrat fundraising week. Remember that when these people are nutballs.
But most recently, you said this in November of 2024, knowing full well you might have been named as Secretary of Defense. So please explain these types of statements because they're brutal and they're mean.
She's talking about Pete Hegseth's statements that women shouldn't be in frontline combat roles, which of course they should not be. But they're mean? This is exactly why.
This is exactly why you nutballs shouldn't be there. They're brutal and they're mean. Oh, you have it, Chris? Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm straight up just saying we should not have women in combat roles. It hasn't made us more effective, hasn't made us more lethal, has made fighting more complicated. We've all served with women and they're great. Mm-hmm. It just, our institutions don't have to incentivize that in places where not traditionally, over human history, men in those positions are more capable.
They're brutal and they're mean. We'll continue on with a little bit of that and then we're moving on. I want to talk about some other things tonight, get to emails. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You're always bugging me. Well, not about half of you were always bugging me. I want more history, more history, more history, because you know I'm a history nerd myself. Well, what if I could give you some free history courses? Free ones. Hillsdale College, you already know about Hillsdale. The institution out there where your young son or daughter won't get destroyed. We all want our kids to go to Hillsdale, but the truth is we can all go to Hillsdale. They're offering more than 40 free online courses. What about Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, the meaning of the U.S. Constitution? What about the Book of Genesis, the stories in there? Do you want education on these things? How about no-cost education? When you go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse and enroll, there's no cost. Over 40 free classes online. It's for you. It's for me. It's for everybody. They want everyone to have this knowledge. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, having all kinds of fun with the Pete Hegseth confirmation hearings today. Not going to spend the entire show on that. We'll try to wrap it up here, move on to what's going on with the lawfare stuff. Why do we have all the tranny stuff in school when 75% of American parents reject it? Wildfire talk. Canada's finally getting on board. All that and more is still to come on the show. Let's go back to Senator Gillibrand yelling and screaming and making an idiot of herself. Remember, because there's no mystery, there's no suspense, at least from what I hear about the nominees getting through, Democrats have nothing but fundraising this week. All this is fundraising. The Senator Gillibrand, her people already have this typed up, I guarantee it, in an I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar email.
And in all of these other circumstances, you've denigrated active duty service members. We have hundreds of women who are currently in the infantry, lethal members of our military service.
Yeah, lethal members. I can already see everyone carrying their packs for them as we speak.
Bring in the infantry. But you degrade them. You say, we need moms, but not in the military, especially in combat units.
Yeah. Women should not be in infantry roles. But, you know, that'll sound good. This guy, he didn't know what Pete Hegseth was talking about when he used the term jag-off?
Oh, by the way, would you explain what a jag-off is?
Look in the mirror, Senator. No, I'll let him keep going.
Oh, by the way, would you explain what a jag-off is?
I don't think I need to, sir.
Why not?
Because the men and women watching understand.
Well, perhaps some of my colleagues don't understand.
It would be a JAG officer who puts his or her own priorities in front of the warfighters. Their promotions, their medals, in front of having the backs of those who are making the tough calls on the front lines.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. I have, just because I do this job now, which is not important. I know I don't have an important job. I talk on the radio and I do TV. It's not important. But because of this job, you end up having to talk to various politicians. Senators and congressmen and this guy running for president and this general and this guy and he was CIA and this guy was FBI and this, and so you get to talk to all these important people. People ask me where I get my confidence from. It's not because of my own abilities. It's because I realize how stupid and incapable all the quote important people are
who run things. United States senators are morons. Most of them are morons. Not all of them. Some of them are very sharp human beings, but for the most part, they're idiots. And not only are they idiots, because of how that job works, you only run for office once every 6 years. You have an enormous staff. A senator and a member of the House, not even comparable. Not even comparable. You essentially have a wing as your office when you're a United States senator and an army of staffers. They read through all the bills. They write all your talking points. They arrange all your TV appearances. They run and get your food for you. You don't have to do anything. You sit there like a lazy, worthless slug, combing your toupee, checking out your latest fundraising numbers, and of course, on the taxpayer dime, you'll take these trips overseas. Oh, it's very important. I just found out I've got to go to Paris and meet with some of the people over there. I guess I will bring my wife along. Maybe we'll do some shopping along the way. These people are all morons. Gary Peters is a moron.
Can you give me an experience?
I bet high school was brutal for Peters.
Can you give me an experience or your actual experience?
Peters, get over here.
Can you give me an experience or your actual experience of driving innovation in an organization? Give me an example of where you have done that.
Oh, my goodness, Senator. Absolutely. At Concerned Veterans for America, we created the Fixing Veterans Healthcare Task Force, a bipartisan task force that had never been done before to create policy, to drive policy change on Capitol Hill that organizations fought ferociously against. Well, we got the VA Accountability Act passed and the Mission Act passed in a way that a nonprofit of our size, veterans organization, has never done. And
thank
that's
you.
Testified in all the letters
thank
that we
you.
Put forward to the committee, which are on the
okay,
record.
I have limited time. Thank you for that.
Oh, my gosh, he answered the question. Let's just move on. And this guy, Jack Reed.
During our meeting last week, you said that if confirmed, your top priority would be, quote, restoring a warrior culture to the Department of Defense because you believe the U.S. military has been weakened by political correctness. Over the years, you have made clear your opinion of the military's diversity initiatives. As you have said, quote, diversity is not our strength, unity is. And on a recent podcast, you said, quote, I'm straight up just saying we should not have women in combat roles.
Yeah, sounds good. But I'd be remiss, we're going to finish up here, if I didn't pay homage to the dumbest senator in the United States Senate. There are a lot of dumb ones. There really are. Just genuinely stupid people. But Mazie Hirono is in a league all her own. No one comes close to this. The fact that this woman is a United States senator is frightening.
Would you use our military to take over Greenland or an ally of Denmark?
Senator, one of the things that President Trump is so good at is never strategically tipping his hand. And so I would never in this public forum give one way or another what orders the president would give
me
in any context.
That sounds to me that you would contemplate carrying out such an order to basically invade Greenland and take over the Panama Canal.
That woman is a United States senator from one of our coolest states. And I know Hawaii is blue. I get that. But that woman's a United States senator. Just wrap your mind around that. Doesn't that give you confidence? Maybe you're sitting here listening to me right now and you have to give a presentation at work tomorrow and you're nervous about it. Or maybe school. Maybe you got to go to school tomorrow and you have to speak in front of the class and you're nervous. I'm worried. I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. Mazie Hirono is a United States senator. You can do anything. Even morons can become United States senators, and that should inspire you to greatness. If Mazie Hirono can be a United States senator, you can go to the moon. Believe me. Trust me on that. And Fred can live longer because of rough greens. Your dog can even live longer. Even if you're stupid, you can still buy Rough Greens and give your dog or your cat nutrition, you see, because we give our pets dead food. We give our pets empty calories, basically fast food every meal. There is no nutrition in your dog's food. That's why our dogs die at 10 years old. You want to have your dog make fewer trips to the vet? better breath, better coat, healthier joints. I mean, how much different is your life when you get real nutrition? Start sprinkling Rough Greens on your dog's food, created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. It has vitamins and minerals and probiotics and antioxidants. You will see such a difference in your dog. Hyperactive, too lethargic. Rough Greens works. You want a free jumpstart trial bag? See if little Muffy likes it like Fred does. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Now, to wrap up all this confirmation hearing stuff, I want to give you a compliment because you did something really, really well. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.